Well, Alistair Clarkson's been good enough to join us. Clark, hey, welcome.
G'day, boys. You two boys didn't have West Coast and Collingwood in either last year.
Retrospectively, I did. In fact,
easy.
It's probably a good thing if we didn't have you in the eight, Clarko. You're 100% right. Hey, how does it feel for you right now on the Monday morning? You're only, you know, it's around the corner. Do you get as excited as you did in your first year back in 2005?
Yeah. Well, the young fella Matthew last night said, Dad, are we going to the footy on Thursday night? So, yeah, we'll head in there to watch Richmond Carlton just as a supporter of the game, really. So we're looking forward to it. And, the players, a lot of work goes in. I think, AFL footy probably prepares its players in a pre-season more significantly than any other code in the world. So, our boys have done a lot of work. So, looking forward to what will unfold throughout the course of the season.
So just on that, so you'll go in on Thursday. I mean, there's a certain area where you can get to sit. You don't get hassled or anything like that. You're happy to sit out in the stands?
Just one of the punters playing at the gate, Gaz. So the top deck of the southern stand and, just watch from afar. I mean, two of my best mates in Bolts and Dimmer are obviously coaching those two clubs.
Yep.
So, one of them's going to be happy, one a bit disappointed, but just sounds like everything hangs on whether you win round one or not. There's that much preparation. You've only ever thought about your opponent for this week. I was only thinking of loading the cars. Have you done any work on the Bulldogs? They're for us round two. Everything's about Adelaide. But everything hinges, it seems, on the first game. But at the end of the day, really, it's the 4 points round one are no more important than the 4 points around two. And you just got to hang in there. Heard some of the conversations around radio this morning around, whether Tom Lynch plays or not and the length of the season. We've got the same situation with Wingard and Scully and these type of guys. And if anything, last year we probably put all our eggs in one basket really just to get there. And we ran out of gas for the most important part of the year. The Isaac Smiths and Tom Mitchell and these sorts of guys who had such terrific seasons, but they couldn't blow a candle out come finals time. That's the most important time of year to be playing. So you've got to certainly have your players there at the right time of year if you can, but and you need them early on to try and win games to get there. So it's a difficult balancing act, but by and large, you've just got to make sure they're rock-hard fit.
Hey, Clarko, you just mentioned Wingard and Scully. Are they genuine chances to play in round one?
No, I wouldn't think so. Chad will be back into full training this week, I'm led to believe. And Skulls has been in full training for longer than that, and he did some 18A and P18 work with us on Friday, and it was only sort of 20 or 30 minutes of competitive play. But in terms of his progress over the last 12 months, that's significant for him and us. And so he's progressing well, but he's a little bit like Tom Lynch. Why would you take a risk at this point in time? We just got to make sure with those guys that have had long term. Chad's a little bit different because he's had a soft issue and he's missed 4 or 5 weeks with that recurrence. But there's a lot of difference between 4 or 5 weeks and 4 or 5 months or even longer, which has been the case for Tom Lynch and Scully. So I reckon the clubs would be a little bit more conservative with bringing those sorts of guys back into the side.
Has Scully made a better recovery and is he far more advanced than what you thought he was going to be at this stage?
Well, we didn't really know, Tim. It was a difficult injury because you can go through a procedure with those ankles where sometimes when you have some damage to the joints where sometimes you lose the cartilage off the surface of the joint and that can be regrown, and it just depends on how quickly that regrows or if it regrows. And in the case with Tom, we didn't know what was going to be the case in that space. So from what I'm led to believe, his ankle is scarred up, is the word that they use in medical terms and certainly within footy clubs. And it's scarred up really, really well. And some of that work was done... which was just organic, it's just natural, but really the loads and that you put through the ankle needs to be very, very delicate. And our guys have been fantastic at that for a long period of time. And We've always had to take risk where our club has sat in terms of the draft. We've had to take risks with players based on our medical and conditioning team and our coaching and the really good understanding we all have of one another's roles and to help a player get through. And we've had some busts, but by and large, we've been able to bring some good players like Burgoyne and Lake and now Scully and Mira and these sort of guys into the footy club, manage their loads, really have a look at what they are capable of doing in terms of their training before they get out there on the weekend. And by and large, we've been okay in that space. And Tom Scully's another one, but we're not there yet. And we just want to make sure we get him absolutely right before we trot him out on the park.
Hey, Clarko, I did your Hawthorn-Richmond game down in Tassie. It's a fantastic game of footy, in actual fact. The Tigers got you in the end, but gee, I was impressed with James Warpole. How good can he be?
Yeah, he and Cousins and a young kid called Jones, a little fella called Dylan Moore, yeah, they've come along really well for us across the last 12 months. A lot of those boys are only second-year players. So, you're always hoping that young players will emerge for you, and we're not certain that Warpy's there yet, but he performed really well in that game in the first part of the game. His summer's been really strong. He's got a pretty handy midfield coach in Sam Mitchell too that might teach him a thing or two over the course of the next couple of years. So, and he's got some really good guys around him, like Amira. Mitchell will be Tom Mitchell will be like a second coach for him this year as a teammate. He's not going to play much, so he's well placed to be in an environment where he can improve every day, really. And if he does, then we need him to. And together with a few others, we need those young fellas to be stepping up, and that's the future of our club.
Yeah, and the other one that jumped off the page in that match was Jack Scrimshaw, a young fella who's you've recruited to the club, and 12 touches in the first quarter. He's sort of playing either a high half forward, or he got into the back half, kicked the goal. Is he chance to play the round one?
Yeah, well, he's had a good summer as well. And a lot of these lads, he's got a Sandringham boy who got drafted to the Gold Coast. And there's just some kids who it just doesn't suit to go into state. And I reckon he was one of them. He had things going on family-wise that it just made it really hard for him to settle. And he just needed to be back in Melbourne, and both Gold Coast and he recognised that, and we're fortunate enough to be the ones that were prepared to take a shot with him. He's got a lot of work to do. He's had a really good summer. He's been very injury prone over the course of his last 3 or 4 years, including his last couple of years before under-18, his final year in under-18. So yeah, we've just got to get some good conditioning and durability into him so he plays week to week and trains week to week. And we've been able to do that for the bulk of this summer. And as we see, he was able to perform pretty well in the Richmond game. He had a great start to the game. He had 12 touches, as you said, and I think he finished with about 18 or 20. So he dropped off a bit, as did our side. But some of these young players, they just need to have those that exposure to senior footy against seasoned bodies like Richmond, and understand that one quarter ain't going to get it done for you. You need to do it over four quarters, and that's really good exposure for these boys.
14 minutes past 8, we're talking to Al Clarkson, the coach of Hawthorn. Now, Al, the coaches met with the AFL last week. It's been reported, and other coaches have actually spoken too deeply about this, it's been reported that it got heated. Did it get heated in there with the AFL last week?
I don't know whether it's so much heated. It's just a pretty strong stance by the coaches in regard to a couple of things. I suppose, the fact that the season's upon us and we're still discussing whether or not there's merit in making some of the changes or just the specifics. We see the farcical situation with the 50-metre penalties the week before, particularly in our game and the Port Adelaide versus Kangas game over in Adelaide. So we just wanted some clarity. We're about to go into a big season. We're starting this Thursday night, and as we sit right here now, we still don't know exactly what's going on with the runners rule and what the interpretation is going to be there. So that's got its frustrations, and they were aired last Thursday morning at different stages. But excuse me, what the coaches were keen on was a little bit around the same philosophy as the interchange rotations. If we're going to make a change, does it need to be so dramatic in the first instance? The interchange rotation, I think we're around 160. We got up to as high as 160, and I think the first call was to cull them down to 40. It was just too dramatic a call, so they took them to 120 or 100 or thereabouts. I can't exactly recall the number, but and then they found a natural sort of line at 80, and I just think they should do the same sort of thing with the runners, just so that we can, the changes to the game, do they need to be so dramatic in the first instance? Can we just monitor them as they come down, and if that meant that coaches that have been used to having unlimited access to the runner entering the ground, can we, you know, it's been sort of 10 or 12 times or 15 times a quarter that they've been running out.
So, Clarko, are you saying that's still a chance that you said that hadn't been resolved here 3 days out from the start of the season? Are you still hopeful that you might have access to them 10 or 12 times a quarter?
No, I'm not so certain of that. But what we do need is clarity exactly what it's going to look like. I think it'll either be that or the 45-second time period where the runner was allowed to be on the ground in between goals. I think another option was to actually extend that time, because 45 seconds of the runner being on the ground, pretty much all he's doing is just managing rotations in that short period of time he's allowed on the ground, and then he's got to be off. Now, they might look to extend that. I'm not sure what... There's three options. They could go the limited rotation, so it could be, or the amount of time, so that would be 5 or 6 times a quarter. They could go with just an extended period of time instead of 45 seconds on the ground that they're allowed to be on there for a minute and a half or 2 minutes. Or they could just go with what their initial recommendation was, and that is that 45 seconds on the ground at goals. And that would be the only time they'd be allowed on the ground. So we're waiting to get clarity from that, from the article. I dare say it need to happen today. We've got 3 days. Yeah. We discussed this 4 days ago, and I'd expect that something would have been pushed through to the clubs by now.
That's unbelievable. And also, just a quick one, I know you've got to get going, but when you talk to your players today at training, do you understand exactly what happens with the 50-metre penalty and where... Not so much the zone, you know, the James Frawley coming from behind, all that sort of stuff. I blame the players for that. But in terms of the setting of the mark, are you 100% certain where that mark should be and who sets it?
Yeah, well, what has been unusual for a long period of time in AFL footy with three umpires is that the umpire who officiates the infringement in terms of the 50-metre penalty is also the guy that then needs to discuss with the player, because there's always a bit of dissent, discuss with the player on why it was a 50, as well as count his steps and know exactly where he's got to be 50 metres down the track, and the absurdity of the whole game having to wait for that umpire to actually track back his 50 metres before he sets the mark. Why another umpire can't have been doing that he's further down the field and he's just marks out the 50 from where the infringement took place, and he goes and takes the mark, so that the officiating umpire at the scene can then manage the protected area, manage any discussion he needs to have with the player. Now, I'm led to believe that that's going to change, and the officiating umpire will not have to set the mark.
Right.
It will be a player from an umpire, so a fellow umpire that's closer towards the goal with which that mark will be set, but I'm yet to have that confirmed either.
That's 3 days out, not having these two rules confirmed. That's unusual.
Yeah, well, so they have provided some clarity around the 50-metre rule. There's some coaches like me who don't necessarily agree with it. You know, the situation with Frawley, where he was behind, and you were at that game, so you recall, the situation with Frawley where he's behind the player, and then which was very well, and then he tried to get in front of him and incurred a 50-metre penalty. That was in the protected area. Understand it's a 50. Jack Riewoldt incurred a 50 against Liam Shields later in the game. And at the time the infringement occurred, Jack Riewoldt is, obviously because there's an infringement, is 1 inch away from Liam Shields. Now, they're saying as long as he gets in front of Shields and is at an appropriate distance, then it's deemed to be okay. Now, Shields can't kick the ball, even if Riewoldt is 3 metres in front of him or even 5, which is deemed to be not in the road. You can't actually kick the ball low and hard forward because Riewoldt's in the road. If you're going to clear the protected area, clear it out altogether.
Correct.
Get out of there. Someone else marks the mark further down and just get out of the area. And as long all the umpire then has to judge is that player making an attempt to get out of the protected area? And if he is, no 15-metre penalty. If he's trying to be a bit cagey, and which players will try to do from time to time, umpire just blows his whistle and says, mate, you're not getting out as quickly as I asked you to. You're incurring another 50. I can tell you, when that 50 becomes 100, it's not going to take very long for coaches to hook a couple of players if 100-metre penalties are on a regular basis. So I think that could be helped enormously, if they just change or tweak where and who the man on the mark is set by the other officiating umpire.
And I know we've got to go and you've got to go, but do you... Like, again, I just want to make the point, we're 3 days out and you've got no clarity. Are you expecting a call today to clarify these couple of issues from the AFL?
Yeah, I thought it was going to happen on Friday, but by today. And I'm sure Steve Hockey and their team in there will be making sure that they get some clarity around this. And there's still, despite the fact it's only 3 days to go, there's still enough time for us to speak with our players, particularly because we don't play till Saturday. But
sure.
The Carlton and Richmond guys, I reckon they'd be pretty keen to know today.
Yep.